And good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. Hope you had a good week. It wasn't too bad a week that we had. In fact, for February, it was a great week, wasn't it? And such. So welcome to each and every one. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Before we get started, I have Ada's here this morning. There she is. We need a picture, yeah. And we want to get Ada. You were absent last week for some reason or another, and we missed getting your picture with your attendance award. Come on, shape up and get over here. Hey. And once again, good morning to each and every one. You're looking so cheery this morning. We're glad to see you as always. Share a couple of verses out of Psalm 66. Reads like this: make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth his honor in his name. Make his praises glorious. Sing to God, how terrible art thou in thy works, though through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto you. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing unto thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible. He is in his doings toward his children. He turneth the sea into dry land. They went through on the flood. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise be heard. Let us praise him and let him praise go up and down Porter Road this morning as we give him thanks for what his goodness toward us.
For him of worship this morning, we'll use 115, first and third verse, and Benny will have her prayer. That's all I'm saying.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank we are for another day of life, another day of that we can come together as a church family. God, you have been so good to us. You never fail us. This week is no exception. Heavenly Father, you've just been so good to us, and we thank you for it. We look up among our peoples, dear God, and we see the joy upon their face, and we can just tell that you've been good to them. We thank you and praise you for that, dear God. So we come this morning, and we know, Heavenly Father, your word tells us that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added to us, those things that we need, those things that will help us in our life, those things that is very necessary for us, you very lovingly and kindly give to us and grant to us. Thank you for the safety that we experience throughout the week. Thank you for the good times we enjoyed with family, friends, and others, Heavenly Father. So this morning we come just to praise you and thank you. Some way, somehow, we want to show our gratitude for your greatness, your goodness to us, and especially for your wonderful Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us never forget the price that was paid at Calvary for our salvation. We just glory in your goodness, Almighty God, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless our service, we pray. Amen.
Now for communion, hymn we'll use number 184. 184, singing the first and last. Was a life filled with that blessed impression, with that hope of shell of a man. Then a hand with that bread stretched and murmured. Just one touch and a new life began. And the old rugged cross made a difference.
Thank you again for the privileges we have together in your house on the Lord today. Now we bring back a portion of thee and our tithes and offerings be with the gift and the giver, and that building thy kingdom. These words you ask in thy name. Amen.
Okay, a couple of things. No, I don't have a couple of things. One thing on our agenda is a Bible study this evening at 4 o'clock. We pray that hopefully the weather will be good and we'll be able to do that. And we're in chapter 10 of the verse, chapter 10 of the book of Romans. And tonight we're going to have a little different format and hopefully that it will help us. So we encourage you to come and share with us. And also we ask you not be selfish and keep what you know to yourself. You ought to come and share with us your thinking and your thoughts and help us to grow also. Just because you know more than we do, we like to know what you know and help us bless our lives. So we encourage you to come and be a part of our Bible study. It's 4 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, nothing taking place. Anything else taking place that we need to share with the church family? Okay, let's turn to our prayer list, and we have several that we want to mention here. And I won't run down the list. I'll just come pull two or three out, let you know what's going on in their lives. And the rest of them, I don't have any updates and so forth on. So we let us just believe that things are working well for them. And hopefully they are. Duda was telling me last week, we was talking about Tommy Perkins, and we've had him on our prayer list the last couple of weeks, and talked about the severeness of him, and they was going to took the test, sent it away, and they said before the test got back, if it was this terrible thing that they thought it was, he would die before it got back. And so last Sunday I got word that he had died, and the test didn't get back, so it was true to the thing. And so even though it's a week down the road, we can still pray for that family, and we have been praying that the Lord would bless them and comfort them. And Pat McFarland, when he talked about the operation that she went through Monday and got word that she's done good, still doing good, things still going okay for her, so praise the Lord. She's had a real difficult time with that, and so that's answering our prayers, many prayers. And Judy has still having a headache, so I haven't mentioned that last couple of weeks, but I know that she still has those things and still can't get rid of them. And somehow or another, we just pray that those things, and they're not as bad as they were, are they? You still have them pretty regular. I guess a headache's bad regardless of how it is. But as I say before, that I've never had a headache, so I don't know what you're experiencing, but a week before last, I thought I was going to get a headache. Maxine, we got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. I know what people has told me, that it's a terrible thing, and we know that several of you all have been afflicted with them, and so I'll pray for that. And somebody else on here, Judy McFarland, and such and so forth. And also we have some new ones. I believe this is Tanya Lanford, lung collapse, and they're going to have surgery scheduled 12 o'clock on Wednesday. So 12 o'clock Wednesday, we want to encourage you to do that, to pray for them. So try to write those down or make a note of it or something. So as we've said before, if a whole group at that particular time and so forth will be in prayer, how great that works out. Also remember Doodles, he continues to work with and getting answers and so forth for his pain, and to have a pain, something that just throbs you day in and day out, it must be a terrible thing to have to put up with. So we pray the Lord that he'll be able to find out what's wrong there and get that taken care of. We also have another one is Nancy Manasha, and has cancer surgery and undergoing chemotherapy. And so some of you people have experienced some of that, and some of your family has. We know a lot of people that has had cancer surgery and has dealt with cancer, takes the treatments and so forth. And for some, it's a terrible issue, and for some, goes through it pretty well. But it's, regardless of how it is, it's quite a task on your life. And so remember those people. And so we'll keep them, and I'll give those to Donna. She'll be back today, I think. I texted them the other day and kind of razzed them about being down there in the sunshine and enjoying all that. And they said, we'll bring you back a bag of sunshine. So we'll get them onto there and get them on our list there. And also the people, and I'm just reminded last night as we got together, we get together every couple of months and so forth and celebrate a couple of month birthdays with all the family, and it gives about a half a dozen at a time. And so anyhow, Miss Thornton, she's got Alzheimer's or something, anyhow, she doesn't know and so forth, but she was there. Of course, that was Kay's. Kay was married to her son when he died, and you remember him, Vaughn. But again, I saw so plain because she just doesn't know who and what and where and so forth. Very nice little young lady that is caring for her over the weekend. Well, in fact, she's in our family. So that makes her so good. No, but she is really nice with her. She goes to college, and so she has a job on the weekend. She takes care of her. And that's, Grace helps her with college. But anyhow, she's so good with her, but still yet, Ethel just doesn't know and everything and doesn't, you know, that's a terrible state to be in. And, you know, it must be a task for those caregivers. And so we have that. That's why we have that on there a lot of times. We have friends and loved ones and so forth that has to have someone to care for them. And, you know, the big task there is that caregiver, caring for those people. And that's a tremendous job. And the ones in the nursing homes and assisted living, likewise. I mean, that is a tremendous ministry to God's people. And God uses them in a great way to bring comfort and healing and stuff to people of that nature. And just like the doctors and the nurses, they work, they study, they learn, and so forth to be able to help. God uses them in a miraculous way, you know. I read in the Old Testament where God, you know, God could have spoken, he could have healed, he could have brought life to them, but no, he told a prophet or he told somebody and somebody to go and do that. So that God uses people in various ways to work wonderful things for his people. So keep in prayer for those people, our service people, our nation, which we say week after week, and we just find more things and more turmoil comes up. Just pray for a settlement, just pray for unity, pray for peace, pray for things to work good. And God is interested in our well-being. So God is so good. Let him just praise him for his goodness.
For a prayer hymn this morning, I'm going to use 223, sing the first and fourth verse. Virgil will have a prayer. That's all I'm saying.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, for our many women in service. And we ask you to
Invitation hymn be number 334. At this time, the choir brings special.
Thank you, Kathleen Choir. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. That's great. Love that. I missed one back there. He wasn't hiding behind anybody either. Looks like possibly the antibiotics is working for Vern back there because he's back this morning. We're glad to see that. Yeah, hope they keep working good for you, Vern. We really do. You know, I keep forgetting to ask you people, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? I wanted to share one with you that I had, and keep forgetting it. But it's been working pretty good. And that is, I had resolved not to preach as long as I had been. And I'm going to preach longer. No. I want to share with you some thoughts from chapter 11 of the book of Numbers, and this should have been in your last week's reading. I hope you folks are getting along well with your reading there, and I didn't want to embarrass a young lady last week when I asked if she got her month's reading in to be sure to mark on the chart back there, and she said, no, I haven't. Well, I said, well, you can catch up, and you can, you know, if you get behind a little bit, you catch up, but don't make it, you know, try to keep up if you can, and a little bit every day. All right, and if you look at verse 1, there's the title. You already see that in the bulletin. And it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. If we back up verse 33, and following reads like this in verse 10. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, And the ark and the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out the resting place of them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out in the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, rise up, Lord, and let these enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." What was David is doing, just praising God for his goodness there in verse 10. He's praising God for his goodness. And then if you notice, in just in the very first verse of chapter 11, they're complaining. And so the title is Complaining Displeases God. I don't know about you, but I just don't want a friend that's always complaining. Complaining. Chronicle complainers. In fact, I try to get away from chronic complainers because they're always on the negative, and I want to live in the positive. And so, and the best thing you can do, if you have a friend that's just nothing but a chronic complainer, and you can't do anything to help them or change them, the best thing you do is get away from them because they'll down your life. They will sour your life. But isn't it something, as we finish this chapter in chapter 10 and come into 11 here, and Moses is just celebrating what God has done for him, what good things God is doing, and then he provides and protects, he cares, he loves, and suddenly have closed that and we come in there complaining. Well, we find just first out of Egypt, you know, just a short time, a few days out of Egypt, they complained. And they complained because they were kind of in a hard spot. They were on a mountain on one side, a river in front of them, and a desert on the other side. And the Egyptians coming behind them, and they just didn't seem like they had a way out. And they were they began to complain. "Well, Moses, you brought us out. Wasn't there graves in Egypt we could have been buried in? You brought us out here in a desert place to die." And God heard them. And God did a miraculous thing for them. He opened the sea and let them go across on dry land. And they're rejoicing. And we said in our Bible study this morning, you can just visualize this great camp of people, the expression of joy for being delivered from Egypt and seeing the enemy drown, not have to deal with them anymore, had to be a joyous time. And then yet, we hear them complain. They complain. How could this be? Well, you and I know the answer to that, don't we? Because we do the same thing. We do the same thing. Our God provides everything we need. But we find ourselves kind of in a hard spot or something, and we forget all of his goodness and begin complaining about what's happening. What's happening? This passage here reminds me of the Apostle Paul in in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1:13. The Apostle Paul found them complaining. He said, "Don't be the mumbling and complaining here. Don't be grumbling here." And Apostle Paul has warned us also, you know, because we're sinners just like they were. And we get caught up sometimes grumbling and complaining about what we do or what we don't have. And Paul says, don't do that. We experience the marvelous overflow of God's love and provision and protection. And yet when tough time comes along, we forget. So quickly we forget. So as the Israelites left Egypt, we would expect them to just be overjoyed, wouldn't you? Just probably couldn't contain the joy of being away from the Egyptian slavery, so to speak, that they just were so exuberant that they couldn't hold it, that they would just be joyous, relieved because their prayers of deliverance has been heard. And God has answered that. But instead, we find this ungrateful, cynical nation. They complained to Moses. As we said in Exodus 14:11, they complained, you know, boy, I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to, he brought us out here just to be killed and no place to bury us. God hears and God provides. And you think the camp would just be thrilled with their newfound freedom. They're leaving them behind this bitter bondage, and they're traveling toward the promised land. And God is saying, I'm going to take you out of this place of bondage, going to take you to a land overflowing with milk and honey. In other words, good things are waiting for you. Let's move on. And yet, as they move, they just complain about this or that, and they should have been rejoicing because they was headed for the promised land. They continue to reminisce about Egypt here. Moses the old saying, you know, you can take the boy out of the country, can't get the country out of the boy. Moses got the Israelites out of Egypt, but he just couldn't get Egypt out of the Israelites. They just kept looking back at what they had there at Egypt. And, you know, how soon they forget, you know, the brick making. And when that started, it wasn't so bad. But then when Joseph died and another Pharaoh took over, he said, you make them gather their own straw and so forth. And when they didn't, well, the taskmasters whipped them with whips across their back and had bloody backs, ache and pain. They was all relieved from that. The brick pits, the taskmasters whip the cramps and the aches and the pains and come to them as they tried to rest, and the blood and the sweat and the tears they shed slaving for Egypt, you'd think, man, they would just be exuberant because of that. But they complained. They were like Lot's wife looking back. The Israelites were like Lot, and they looked back and they thought that there was something good back there they'd be missing. And that's what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back and she thought, boy, there's something back there so good, and I'm be missing that. And that's what they were doing. They were looking back and they were complaining because they thought, you know, we're moving away from something that we will miss. And so I believe if I'd have been Moses, I'd just throw the towel in on them, you know. I really do. I believe if I was Moses, I'd just throw the towel in and I'd just go back to my herding my sheep, and sheep don't grumble. Sheep don't complain. They just follow you on and they look for you for guidance and so forth. And so I wouldn't have had the gumption to put up with that. I'd say, you grumblers, just stay out here in the wilderness and make for yourself. I'm going back to the mountain for the sheep. The disgracefulness, the ungratefulness, as we see there, it's no wonder that God might not have rained down fire on them. God could do that. Fire and brimstone, but instead he rained down sweet manna. Isn't that something? They complained to God for what they was going through, and God just gives them sweet manna, you know. Verse 4 through 6 here in chapter 11. And the mixed multitude, let's just back up. Verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. What happened? And he called the name of the place Tabitha, because the fire of the Lord burned among them, and the mixed multitude that was among them, there they are, Michael, the mixed multitude. It wasn't all Israelites, mixed multitude. They're among them. Fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said unto him, shall give us fish, flesh to eat. We remember the fish that which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and the garlic. But now our souls is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Oh, grumblers here, yes. They cried back. They begin to crave other food here. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had food. And you know, and when you read that on, and they did get the quail, they got the meat, you know, I said, boy, it just stuffed their teeth. It wasn't as pleasant as they thought. You know, they gorged on it, and it didn't turn out as pleasant as they thought. They cried for it. And he gave it to them. They cried. And they began to crave other food, and they started wailing. If only they had meat to eat. And we remember the fish in Egypt and all these things we had, the flesh pots, and they got them at no cost. And the cucumbers and melons and lemons, the onions and such, you know. And I read a time or two, they talk about the flesh pots. And you remember going to, sometimes you go to a city carnival, or not carnival, but like a turkey. Sadieville has Sadieville Day, and you go over there sometimes, and the different towns have days and so forth. And I remember, I haven't been to one for a while now, but it used to be, this old fellow used to have this great big iron kettle, you know, pot, and he'd have a board in there, and he'd be stirring them beans in there, and you'd get a bowl of beans, you know, there, and so forth. And it makes me think about the Egyptians and the Israelites, and they talked about the pots of flesh, you know, and so forth, and made me think that, you know, there was kind of pots around them through when they're working area, and somebody was stirring, and they just eat when they wanted to, what they wanted, you know, and it's so good, they said. Our eating was so good there. Had all this nice stuff to eat and so forth, and they complained. We must remember, though, that better yet, we must rehearse, I think. And made it meditate. Now they were thinking, they were rehearsing, they were meditating on what? On what they didn't have. What they didn't have. And we need to be constantly meditated on God's goodness and His protection, His provisions. Isn't God good? Or we will forget. And I think in our prayer time, that's one of the things we ought to recognize. God, how good you are. You provided, you protected, I needed this, you did that for me, and so forth. And if we don't continue to pray about those and meditate on those things, we'll be like them. We'll forget the goodness of God, and therefore we'll be mumbling and grumbling about the things we don't have. How could these Israelites forget God and God's goodness when the ark is, it says here, the ark was going before them? Cloud was behind them. He was providing manna for them. Gosh, and so it was so good for them. How could they forget? And listen, if we're not constantly giving thanksgiving to God for His goodness, we'll forget likewise. We're not much better than they are as far as that goes, and we will forget what God is doing for us. Did you notice two things they said there? They were praying, or they were complaining about. Number one, they're complaining what they had. And number two, they were praying for what they didn't have. And two things to complain. They complained about what they had and what they didn't have. And that's really the crux of everything today, isn't it? They don't like what God has given them. They count it as hardship on them. They count it as a hard task to walk toward the promised land. And they complained about what they had and the hardships and adversities and complained what they didn't have. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get caught up in that, don't we? We don't like what's been dealt to us, you know. How many times you heard people say, boy, life really dealt me a bad hand, you know, when we ought to be thinking about the good things God has dealt. He said, nothing good ever comes my way. We ought to think about the good things that does come our way. And I tell you, if you think on the good things that come your way, you won't have time to think about the bad things. Right? Amen. So they complained about what they had, what they didn't have, kept complaining about them. I believe the complaining came also because of what I read back in Exodus 12 and 38, and also right here when it says the mixed group here. I really believe the complaining come because not all that came out of Egypt were Israelites. And I shared this morning with our Bible class, and they already know anyhow, they read this, that there was people that desired. You know, when disaster happens, even don't like to think about it, but 9/11,
When that disaster happened, what happened? There was people that hadn't been in church for 10 years, probably. They ran to the church. They ran to be with Christians. And so it was here we had, coming out of Egypt, we had the Israelites, and we had many Egyptians, the scriptures teach us. Many Egyptians came out too because they recognized this Jehovah God of Israel was powerful, more powerful than their God ever dared to be. So they wanted to come out of that, and they wanted a part of what Israelites had. They wanted to be under their God. And then also we had the Pharaoh of Egypt. He went to war and he captured areas around. He took captive. He took the spoil, and he took people, and he made them slaves also in their house and so forth. So this was an opportunity. A lot of them went out also with the Egyptians. We don't know how many of them, but the scripture says many of them did. Now, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe the complaining came mostly for those non-spiritual people. I believe the Israelites, God's people, the spiritual people, I believe the scripture says they complained. But I believe the complaining was probably set off by the non-spiritual people. Who does the most complaining today? Do you or do your non-spiritual friend you know? Huh? So I have to condemn, if that's a fair word, those who were desiring to get out. They were immigrants wanting to get into the good land. And you know, sometimes I can't blame the immigrants for wanting the better land, but I just wish it was handled a little different, and really do. But that's kind of a similar thing there. And because I read, and you know, and you know, we have immigrants come here, and the ones that do come in get treated pretty good. And then yet, you know, you read about some that just complain to beat the band. And they don't have any right to be here. I don't know. And so actually, these Egyptians and these taken in war and so forth, they really didn't have any right to be with the Israelites. God didn't promise them, did he? He didn't promise them deliverance. He promised the Israelites. But these people recognized the power of God, and they wanted what the Israelites had. They wanted this God could rain down 10 plagues. They wanted this God that could come in and take their firstborn right out of their lives. That's a powerful God that can do those type of things and deliver these people is much more. And so they want to be a part of that. And so I really do believe that the complaining came basically or originated there from the non-spiritual people. And I have to say, in the church, that the majority, if not most all, complaining comes from non-spiritual people. I don't hear much complaining from spiritual people. They are so thankful for what God has. Complaining comes from non-spiritual people. I think it's a lesson we learn here. So you're saying different groups of people come together with Israelites, yeah. And I believe the Bible teaches us that there's going to be different kinds of people in the church. There's going to be praising people, going to be complaining people, there's going to be good people, there's going to be bad people. And Jesus made that very plain. In fact, he told a couple of parables in Matthew 13 and 3 to 9, a parable of the sower. Jesus said, a sower went forth and planted seed. Some good, some bad. Some produced, some didn't produce.
He also told another parable on down in what, verse 36, I think, in the same chapter. He talks about this good man sowed good seed in his field. And while he slept, he said, the enemy come, the evil one, and planted tares in his field. And the householder said, you want us to go out there and pull up them tares and discard them or have burned them or whatever? And he said, no. He said, let them grow together, because if you root up the tares, you might root up the wheat, and then there'd be no harvest. But he said, when the householder comes, he will divide, he will harvest, he will pull up, and he will take the wheat and the tares, and he will separate them, and the wheat he will put in his garner, and the tares he will burn. Now, Jesus' disciples asked him to explain those parables. And in so many words, Jesus says, that's the church. That's the church. So we do have two kinds of people in the church, per se. Thank God we've got the better part. In other words, he's saying the spiritual and the non-spiritual will grow together. Just like the Israelites came out of Egypt and they had Egyptians and they had other nationalities. And some were spiritual and some weren't. And they come together. The uttermost parts, the outer parts of the camp, the fire fell. You know, God could do that today. It's a wonder that he doesn't sap a lot of out today for what's taking place. It's a wonder a lightning strike doesn't go through our capital in Washington and do away with about half. That's poor. I mean, I shouldn't judge that away, should I? But, well, I mean, it fits Scripture, doesn't it? The evilness, the wickedness and stuff, and the distorting of good things that God has for us into something bad. So there's two kinds of people in the church, Jesus is saying. Two kinds, and the anger of the Lord was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them, that they were in the uttermost parts of the camp. What's taking place there? Complaining displeases God. And God gets angry enough with that, he's going to bring judgment. And look at what happened. Complaining brings severe judgment on the complainer. That should behoove anybody to not complain, let alone a Christian. And praise God, good Christians don't complain. Zapped them right out. In that day, mummering and complaining against the Lord carried a severe penalty. Severe penalty. I'm glad I don't have to make judgment and probably shouldn't make some of the judgments that I make, but I question and I wonder about some things that happen sometimes. And I wonder why some things happen the way they happen. And it's very possible that we see from the Scripture why they happen the way they do happen. And we wonder sometimes why more things don't happen that doesn't happen. All the grumblers and mummers could see was the obstacles in the way. And if you were in a crowd with the Israelites, when God opened that sea, and that ground was dry, do you think you would have any trouble with any other obstacle that would be in your way? You'd think not, would you? You'd think, but boy, they complained, we just got this manna. And then they said, we don't have any water. Do you think that after seeing the miraculous power of God at work, that they thought that they would die of thirst? I guess they did. because they said, we don't have any water to drink. We got this manna that comes here every day, fresh, just like Dunkin' Donuts. You know? And now we don't have any water to drink. But they just saw one of the greatest miracles that ever was worked. And you would think they would thought, I'm not going to starve. And I'm not going to die of thirst. How many of you people think that you might starve to death? How many of you think that you'd just be so thirsty that you just have to give out? Not one of you, do you? God is going to take care of that. God's going to provide that. You'd have thought they would have thought that, but they didn't. They complained. So we see the obstacles in the way there on the wonderful path to the promised land. They didn't see the blessings of God's sweet manna, and it said it was sweet. And it said they could grind it up and make different things out of it. You know, and like you ladies, you take the same vegetables, the same products or whatever, and today you'll mix that up in one bowl and it'll come out and it'll be this. And the next day you'll put the same stuff in a bowl and you'll do this to it and mix it up and so forth and maybe throw a little hot stuff on it or whatever, and it comes out tasting different. That's the way they did with manna. They had it. They could take it. It was good. It was sweet, whatever. They could grind it up, make it in cakes and so forth, whatever. So they had a different flavor, but they complained. This morning we must be reminded, and I hope you were when we gathered the Lord's table, that we need as Christians to accept the new manna. The new manna God has sent down to us in heaven. You know, that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, I'm the bread of life. He says, he that eateth of me will never hunger. And he says, he that believes in me will never thirst. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:35. Christ is our everlasting bread of life. Nourish us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. By his example, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and by his Holy Spirit that surrounds us every moment of our lives, if we'll just be open to it. The Israelites were so shut up to what God would do, so close to what God would do for them. Their hearts, their lives ought to be so open that there's nothing. As Jesus says, there's nothing impossible with God. When they crossed that Red Sea, that should have been wrote across their heart in gigantic, in capital letters. Nothing is impossible with God. With God. The bread will sustain our soul forever. Forever. When you find yourself cynical, complaining, dissatisfied with what life has or the world around you, remember this quote. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you always get what you need. You always get what you need. That comes from God. You can always get what you can't always get what you want. But if you just try to look, you'll always get what you need. And what we need this morning, what this world needs, yeah, we sing that song, love. What the world needs is love. I tell you what the world needs. The world needs sweet manna from heaven above. From heaven above. The bread of life, the love of Jesus, that will sustain us here and now and forever as we tread toward the promised land. We're on a journey, folks. We're just like the Israelites. When you think about it, we have come out of slavery, the slavery of sin. and went on our way to a promised land. This land that we're living in is good. This life to me is good. But God has promised us something so much better than this. If you can grasp that, if your life is so good that you just can't hardly imagine why and how you're experiencing the goodness of God that you are, but yet there's even something better to come. That's the problem. We're traveling from that to that. Are we going to grumble and complain? Are we going to grumble and complain on our way to the promised land? So I say this morning, as we close, let us forget our daily complainings. And remember, if we will receive it, we are offered the bread of life for eternity. And if you haven't received it, you can do that this morning as we sing the first verse of our invitation hymn. Stand together. Folks, who have been in the Lord's house this morning, and I was thinking of a word and I lost it, but you are the people that really makes things life good. You're the people that is always out, always there, good weather and bad, sunshine and not, you're here. That's God. God bless you for that. Thank you for doing that. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful time it is to come together as church family. And Father God, we know that as we look at the world today, we have a vast majority of people just complaining that you've been so good to this nation. You've been so good to this world. You're so good to us, dear God. There's no room for us mumber and complain. We just accept what you have given us with thanksgiving. And we're treading on, Heavenly Father, as you lead through your Son to that promised land that we have, that awaits us one day. Help us, O Heavenly Father, as a church family. Help each and every one of us to be together as we meet once again in that land that we look forward to. But Heavenly Father, help us to encourage those that would be complainers, those who don't recognize the goodness of God. Help us to encourage them to see the good things that you have in store for them as you deal with us in a loving and kind way. Bless our people as they leave this place. Grant them a good week, we pray. Give them safety in their going. Help them, Heavenly Father, in the things that they're faced with. We pray and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, folks.